Hey, it's me.
Yeah, that's actually me. That's a secret talent. Oh, I haven't sat down in a long time to talk to you. And I'm kind of excited, except I always procrastinate till it's late at night and my parents are extra loud in the bathroom next door. Is that lame that I revealed that I'm living with my parents? No, because who is affording their own housing in their 20s? A lot of people, but a lot of us aren't, so lay off. I just need to stop going down every tangent where I think someone could possibly be thinking something judgmental. I gotta nip that in the butt. Anyhow, I know that people don't like to hear what other people are doing in their lives, especially when you're new to a podcast. You're like, I don't give a fuck that you went and got a Whole Foods cake for your birthday and it was strawberries and vanilla and it was your favorite. And like just heartfelt stuff like that, or just like, hey, I've been, da-da-da-da, like things about their personal life. I get it. You guys haven't really, or if you're new here, you really haven't formed any connection with me. And I'm fairly new here, so who has formed a connection with me yet? I don't know. I hope that there are people out there. So I'll just shut up and start talking about what I came here to talk about, even though I really badly want to talk about myself, so I understand why they do it. So certain advice is hard to swallow. Listen, when I'm in my most depressive headspaces, and depression, it varies. It really does. Yes, you can be depressed, like deeply depressed for a year, but every day doesn't look the same. There's some days when you're a little more motivated and you're ready to wait on. Does that sound like fire? You're ready to light that fire under your ass, or you're ready to feel the fire under your ass and be like, let's make this better for myself. And then there's other days when you want to give up and you're letting yourself feel your emotions. You're letting yourself just submit to the sadness and the overwhelming feelings that you feel. And you're like, I don't need to try harder today. I showed up. I'm alive. I'm here. That's enough. So I just want to preface this episode with that, because I think some of the advice given out in the self-help world can sound out of touch and unaware that people do hit those lows and everyone isn't ready to fucking drill every day. But on a day where I had a little more motivation to, adopt a new mindset to make myself a little more hard-skinned or a little more tough-skinned to the weathers of life, I had this journal entry and just this motivation to turn a new leaf a little bit or just start a new chapter of thinking. Let me just read this journal entry. Based off the title of this podcast, you have an idea of what this journal entry is about. I want to cut out the beginning of this journal entry, but I won't. I'll just read it all. So this is from February 12th, 2024. I do, in fact, forgive myself for being on my phone. It is the avoidance of uncomfortable feelings like being alive. LOL. Anyway. A plus, I work at 10, not 9, so I'll be sleeping at 12:30 tonight. Yes, you will. My dread for the next day fuels my insomnia, or the need to find enjoyment in reality. What's wrong with us? Episode idea: why does reality feel so hard for me? I'm not really doing anything hard. Have I gotten comfortable in being comfortable? I think I have. Do I need the acupressure mat and cold showers? I don't know. Maybe a life of comfort and convenience has doomed us for failure? Has emoting doomed us? By processing all the uncomfort, it exhausts us? Is that what we should be doing? Yes, we have these convenient modern things, but it stripped us of natural hardships, enduring extreme cold weather, sleeping outside in the rain, bugs everywhere and on you, expending energy to forage for food. Evan got me thinking about this. Life is supposed to be uncomfortable, which is a hard reality to accept. And a scary one? No, the scary reality is that life is supposed to be hard. Uncomfortable, I can swallow. Being outside and on alert. Surges of anxiety when we hear or see certain things. Anxiety was never bad. It was necessary for us to stay alert, to stay safe and alive. But since we are not exposed to spontaneous dangers of prowling predators, we reallocate our anxiety to things that we sometimes know is trivial. And we think, this anxiety is wrong, and this anxiety is bad. I don't believe we're wired to believe our anxiety is bad or wrong. It's supposed to be uncomfortable, so we will avoid situations that create it in the future. But it is expected for us to be shifted from homeostasis. Fear surging, temperature changes, and our bodies must work to come back to center. Have I possibly been missing something? Should I have been asking myself these questions? Can I accept that life is supposed to be uncomfortable? I think we can pick our fights and know what's good for us. Take the gym. Not wanting to go to the gym. That push to get yourself to go is not always pleasant. But if you preface it with, you're supposed to be uncomfortable with going to the gym, does it make it easier? It sounds pessimistic, maybe, but I think it's more of a realistic mindset. If we stop expecting life to always feel good and relaxing, not to say that we should be okay with the high levels of school stress and a miserable job, but choosing a path that's fulfilling to us and accepting the inevitable obstacles that will come with it. Have we all conditioned ourselves to believe that we should live comfortable, safe, happy, and peaceful lives all the time? Of course, it's natural to strive for that. But is there a world where we can strive for that yet also be open and collected enough when uncomfortability surfaces? The goal, I guess, would be fulfillment, not happiness. Fulfillment requires uncomfortability. Why? A life of only goodness and ease doesn't condition us to weather storms, and storms are inevitable. Can we give ourselves the predisposition that we will face discomfort? This is a new idea for me. For my daily life right now, this is the discomfort of getting myself to do laundry, the dishes, cleaning my room, putting away the dishes, going to the gym, the actual workout, weathering emotions like loneliness and isolation. Parentheses. This uncomfort may be the worst. Emotional discomfort. Close parentheses. Emotions like boredom, self-loathing, the discomfort of getting myself to leave the comfort of my home, to go outside, to do work, to read books that'll help me spiritually. Weathering boredom and lacking stimulation. The discomfort of doing things that take effort. The discomfort of weathering unpleasant emotions. Maybe our luxuries have made it even harder. Our iPhones and scrolling feel super pleasant because we're entertained, stimulated, and even given lots of dopamine. Is it possible to be too entertained? Grocery stores have the food right in front of us. Yes, we have to cook, but making food was required of all humans. TV gives us entertainment. Hot showers and water make hygiene enjoyable and not just something we do for maintenance. Brushing our teeth feels hard and boring. Our beds make sleeping much more enjoyable than the ground. Seasonings, oils, and insane access to ingredients make food and eating so much more enjoyable. Driving makes travel more fun and enjoyable. You got your aux cord, you got your friends in the back with you and next to you, and you're not focused on trying to maintain this vehicle. You trust that this vehicle is going to get you there, and you can drive up to like 80 on the highway and have a fun time listening to your favorite song. Anyway, AC and heat makes being in our homes relatively enjoyable. Are we enjoying too much? Is there too much enjoyment? Is Dad right about trying to enjoy simple foods? Like that Instagram couple eating off their land, saying the food you enjoy is the food you've been accustomed to, or it can be. Modern life. Since we're not experiencing the natural discomforts of living in the wild, can we get ourselves to accept the discomforts of modern day life? The discomforts of body image issues, discomfort of getting out of a comfy bed, discomfort of folding laundry, of cleaning the bathroom. I'll think more on this later. That's the end of the journal entry. So clearly this is something that a lot of people have thought about before, but it's different when someone presents an idea to you versus when you're the one who had sprouted the thought in the first place. I think for us who struggle with their mental health, this isn't something that we think about often because life is so incredibly uncomfortable. When living life with a dark cloud over your head, when living life feeling the throes of anxiety and then depression again, then anxiety and like other fucked up shit that having mental illness brings, like intrusive thoughts that make living life really hard, like something simple like reading a book sometimes you can't even enjoy. I'm saying you as in being a universal you, but I'm talking about me. Like sometimes it's literally hard to read a book because of intrusive thoughts. So yes, there are shitty things that we feel. And there are times that for myself, my physical pain, my chronic pain is super bad. But then there's duller moments when it's just uncomfortable. It's not like I want to die in that moment, which sometimes it is that way. And yes, I have breakdowns sometimes when you've been feeling a certain feeling for such a long time. It's a chronic pain, whether that's physical, whether it's mental. And it's just exhausting to never experience full comfort. But can we just maybe look at another perspective, if only for the meantime, if only to use this mindset when we are ready to adopt it, and not even at a certain time in your life, it's just a certain day to adopt it, certain days. It doesn't have to be all the time. Can I accept discomfort knowing that life is inherently uncomfortable? Right now, we are in the age of luxury and indulgence and convenience. We've been born into a world where we maximize comfort, minimize effort, and minimize discomfort. Also a world where we want to enhance life pleasure as much as possible. For me, and I think a lot of other people, we view normal life actions as being taxing, like cooking, cleaning, going to work to make money. And then obviously, everyone's work conditions vary, but we'll have to oversimplify for the sake of making a statement. Yeah, part of our exhaustion is totally fair, but is it possible that we've gotten too comfortable with being comfortable, have conditioned ourselves to feel righteous, to feel comfortable all the time, that any discomfort we feel is wrong in a way? And this isn't a rhetorical question. This is a genuine question I'm asking myself, and I want you to also ask yourself. Convenience is logical to me. Of course, we're going to come up to solutions with issues. Of course, we're going to come up with a better way to store meats other than storing it in salt and sugar. Yes, create something that can keep it at cooler temperatures so that it can grow bacteria at a slower rate. That makes sense. But there's so many lines blurred between, I'll create three categories. So we have convenience, and then there's luxury, and then there's indulgence. Let's start with convenience. We have convenience where the solutions make sense. And then all the way at indulgence, we're like, okay, now we've gotten carried away with ourselves and we've made life so easy that we're not used to putting in effort in things. But at the same time, is it any of our faults? We were born into this modern society. Not all of us were born into someone who's living a more nomadic lifestyle or someone that's living a more off-grid lifestyle. But wouldn't that be awesome? Anyway, let's start with convenient, sensible, and practical solutions to issues. I think that grocery stores would be an example of that. How smart is it to get, you know, our agricultural industries interwoven into a network that gives people a place close to their homes, very accessible, so that they can have access to food, access to lots of vegetables and fruits and other sorts of products. That's great. We had the resources to do that. It allows us to find food in a more easy way than us foraging out in the world or having us travel long distances to go find someone who's selling food. And it also benefits farmers and producers. Now that I'm talking about it, grocery stores almost sound like a luxury, but for the sake of this, we're going to keep it in convenience. Another thing, bathrooms. That makes sense. When it's snowing outside, who wants to go outside and put their ass in the snow and take a piss at like 3 a.m.? No, I want to stay in my house where the heat is on, where I can walk 5 feet into the dark bathroom, go to the bathroom, go back to bed. Instead of like digging a hole to put my poop in, to just go in the toilet. I also have a sink right there to wash the bacteria off my hands. Okay, enough said. Someone let me know, is that my OCD when I literally think of every contradicting statement someone could say to what I'm saying? Let me know. Diagnose me. Next thing, electricity. Thank you, Albert Einstein. Yes, what a genius. Did you know he slept for 12 hours? I'm almost quite sure of that. No, oh my gosh, it was Thomas Edison in the light bulb. Wow, I was so wrong. Okay, most people give credit to Benjamin Franklin for discovering electricity. Why? I'm sorry. Why am I coming off as so uneducated right now? Listen. This is unimportant. Obviously, it wasn't Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, nevertheless, was a genius. Why are we talking about Albert Einstein? Listen, electricity. What is not smart about this? We got light so we can work past dark. Maybe it's unnatural for our brains. Psh. Okay, we got fridges. Of course, keeping our food fresh longer, less food waste, amazing. We got heat in our houses. We have AC when it's like sweltering hot and you might have a heat stroke from being outside. Next, we got beds and mattresses. Are you kidding me? Yes, let's have that ergonomic mattress and pillow. Preserve our body since we're living longer. We want that bone and muscle health. Thank you. And we get deeper sleep. Of course, we want a comfortable space. Had we been born in the Stone Ages, what were they sleeping on? Listen, I think I would be collecting moss and then lying it on the ground. And maybe like palms? No, that'd be in a tropical area. Yeah, I think moss is probably our best bet. Just a bed of moss. Let's move on to luxury. I think what could maybe define a luxury, there would be multiple definitions, but makes the basics in life, basics being your conveniences, it makes your basics in life better. Restaurants, going out to eat. You don't have to cook for yourself. Instead, you can go somewhere else and have someone else cook for you and be served and have a great experience. That's awesome. I love going out to eat, and that's such a great experience to have. It brings me, I would say, healthy amounts of serotonin. And family bonding time, give me that oxytocin, gets you out of the house. It's great for all people involved, except overworked servers. Having a variety of mattresses, is that a luxury? Reclinable beds. Plush mattress toppers, just maximizing our sleep. My sleep setup is a fan for white noise, so I don't hear noises in the house. Blackout curtains, weighted blankets, an adjustable bed. Is that luxury? Or is that really helping me because I have insomnia and back and neck issues that don't let me sleep? You let me know. Why did I put this down? It's literally both inconvenience and luxury because I don't think I knew where to place it. Next. All right, we have carbonated beverages on here. This is obvious. This list is catered to the examples in my life. I love seltzer water. Listen, I stopped drinking like a little party girl I was when I was a teenager. And when I have a hard day, I'm knocking back 3 seltzers, maybe 4 on a regular day. Honestly, if I don't have to have a seltzer, I don't need one. On average, maybe 1 seltzer, sometimes 2, but 3 or 4, that is after this girl was sleep deprived. She worked a long shift. She got her butt up doing things. It was a long day. Another luxury are planes. We have planes to travel and see the world. Like, that is so awesome. Someone or a lot of people's core life values involves being a traveler. Now, before people could travel on boats, hell, that was a rough journey. That is so awesome. I went to Yosemite like 2 years ago. That's awesome. I just went to Southern California to the beaches. That's awesome. I just went to Acadia in Maine. That is so great. I went to Spain before. I want to travel more and see more of the world. Like, that is such a luxury that we even know what's going on and what wonders there are in other parts of the world. That's really awesome. And I mean, I'm sure that there's people that have gotten into their later years and later decades when they haven't even left their own country, maybe because they couldn't afford it, maybe because they just didn't have the desire. I don't know. But yeah, that's definitely a luxury in my mind. So that is just enhancing life pleasure significantly. I think another luxury is modern medicine to help things like stomach aches and more serious health issues, like alleviating the pain of acute and chronic pains, like your muscle relaxers. You also got stuff for surgery like morphine and whatever drugs they're giving people. Fentanyl? What's the P one? I forget. All right, now let's get into the indulgences. This is excessive. This is what brings copious amounts of pleasure. Number one, TV and social media. I am guilty of eating and scrolling on something. Scrolling on maybe the Instagram reels. Now, I will say I am on Safari on my phone. I'm on Safari and then I'm on Instagram. And this makes Instagram lag. So it's a natural boundary that's set. It's a natural thing forcing me to get off because the reels aren't fucking loading because it's not supposed to run on there. So I don't use the app. But anyway, I'll scroll on there. I'll eat and watch YouTube. In the morning when I can't get up, I'm like, okay, I just need a little bit of blue light to just shock my systems. And then also when I had TikTok, sorry about the ban, guys, if you're a big TikTok person or the potential ban. Anyway, the scrolling on TikTok is actually insane. I could only handle like 3 hours of that before my brain felt like it was starting to melt and I started getting major headaches. But still, it was so addictive. Sitting on the toilet, bringing out TikTok. Lay in my bed, go on TikTok. Taking a break from studying, go on TikTok. It's crazy. And how time can pass and that little person pops up to remind you, like, hey, you've been on here for like an hour. You should probably get off. The dopamine is crazy. The desensitizing to your dopamine synapses is crazy. So that's us indulging in feel good hormones. Also TV, binge watching TV shows. Listen, that feels amazing. It really does. Ugh. I'm just thinking about Bridgerton coming out and I'm so excited. Also, a recent show I've been watching with my sister, The OC. Amazing. It feels so good to do those things, but then why do we feel like shit after doing it for hours? So obviously we need balance somewhere. Anyway, more indulgent things. Eating extravagant meals in super nice places. I'm talking your excessively fancy restaurants. Like the people that are serving the 7-course meals. The people that are, I really have no experience because I haven't eaten in an extravagantly nice restaurant. But when you see people bring out a dessert on social media, and they're like, this is a $500 dessert. Or there's a few $1,000 desserts too. And they have speckled gold flakes on there. Why do we need people to be eating gold? Let me know. Another indulgence, designer clothes and bags. Spending thousands and thousands of dollars on things. My sister used to work at Tory Burch and she got a discount and my mom went crazy at Tory Burch. And it was just unnecessary. This woman has shoes on shoes on shoes that she does not wear, but it was nice for her to own because it feels good. The spending of money. I think another thing related to designer clothes and bags, the fact that you can feel that much dopamine from buying these objects is crazy. And all of us are a little bit complicit in this overconsumption of goods where we're looking for quick fixes for happiness and it just feels good to buy things and own things. And ooh, I know. I'm not saying that these things are wrong. I'm just saying that it is over the top. The fact that we have stuff that exists that is so high end and expensive. What is the real need for that? Let me know. Another thing, having multiple cars to enjoy. Yes, I'm a eat the rich bitch. When I see that people have like 6 cars for them to enjoy, that's crazy to me. Why do you need 6 different cars? Actually, I need to stop hating, okay? This is not turning. But anyway, having 6 different cars to drive, no one needs that. I think everyone can have 1 car. Maybe 2. You want to be a little crazy, but 6? No, I draw the line. I'm giving people way too much grace here. Everyone needs like 1 car. And if you have a work car that's separate, 1 car. Why do we need multiple vehicles? The fact that we take pleasure in having nice physical objects is just indulgent, period. Okay. So I think I should outline convenience to luxury to indulgent. Let's think of convenience as having access to grocery stores. Luxury being ordering groceries online and parking for pickup. And this has existed since COVID. And then the indulgence would be ordering groceries. Why did I just roll my tongue? Ordering groceries and someone dropping them off at your house and stocking them in your fridge. Now that's over the top. So you see how the lines are blurred from convenience to indulgence. As humans, naturally, we have created solutions to our problems. We've created things to make our lives easier. But we have gone too far in some ways to make our lives far easier and far better. In us trying to make our lives easier and better, we've actually counterintuitively have made them harder. So while we're trying to make life more pleasurable for ourselves, we actually might just be making ourselves more miserable. The issue with enhancing life is when you raise the stakes for pleasure, the floor of displeasure is only that much lower. Like eating simple foods relative to an extravagant meal you had the night before. The simple food, although is still maybe nourishing your body, a simple meal of just your basics versus a meal that has incredible oils and seasonings and that took time and preparation. We start to grow bored of the basics. Indulgences make ordinary life feel more mundane. But that's the thing, ordinary life is unavoidable, and a belief of mine, and I know a lot of other people, is that a simpler life is a happier life. And I think that has a lot of truth to it. Because simple and boring is unavoidable, but if that grows to be your baseline, you can enjoy life a bit more rather than having this inflated idea of life. And then when the ordinary and the boredom does roll around, you would know what to do with yourself. You're like, oh, this is just how life is, not as, oh, there's something wrong with this. And you know, maybe we do need these new versions of pleasure to cope with the new displeasures that we've created in modern day life. An example being children being overworked in the educational system. While school used to be a privilege for people to have, and tutors and learning, now it's just expected of us, and you have kids in school. I've seen so many things of kids complaining about school, being like, can we please just have like a 4-day week instead of a 5-day week? On the weekends, I want to play and hang out with my friends and hang out with my family. And then also talking about homework, how even after they go to school, they have to do more work after school. It's become a thing that's interfered with children having that playtime. And then in the older generations, you also see kids being chronically stressed. Like me, I was one of those kids where I try to keep myself in the right perspective of thinking this is a privilege to be able to go to school, especially for free. But at the same time, I was so stressed about all my classes. And then also moving into college, that literally triggered my depression. Not even triggered. It is what made me depressed. I was sleep deprived. I was studying. I was being overworked. The course load was crazy. And us all being burnt out. We're burnt out and we're all exhausted. And then by the time we're expected to be on our way towards having full-time jobs and making a living for ourselves and contributing to society, we're like, fuck, this is hard and I need something that's gonna give me a reason to live in life, or I need little parts of my life that actually do bring me pleasure to counteract all of this dread that I feel. This is what I mean by these new pleasures. Maybe it's sitting on the couch and binge watching hours of TV. It's kind of what seltzer is to me. I need that to cope with whatever happened during the day or to counteract the bad that happened. Listen, it's all relative. We have to use comparison to give us perspective. I think what I was writing about in my journal entry is a good reminder to think about what discomfort was to our relatives long ago. Thinking about discomfort being sleeping outside in the cold temperatures, sleeping outside on a hard surface where bugs are crawling over you, getting bitten in the summer by mosquitoes, by having diseases that you didn't have medicine to cure, by spending your days like wandering around searching for food. And that was their normal. You know, and anytime you were sleeping outside at night getting bit by bugs, they're like, okay, well, this is, they didn't think anything of it. They're like, this is just life. But for us, we're like, okay, I fucking hate camping. I don't want to do this. Or say taking cold showers, how we know that it's good for us, good for our immune system. And it sucks, though. There are people that actively take them. I understand. But then what if you ran out of hot water in your house and you're like, I hate my life. I'm not going to shower. That sucks. Versus maybe our ancestors bathing in cold lakes and bodies of water. And they're like, this is my routine. This is me bathing. There's no question about it. What is hot water? Listen, I'm testing out this mindset. This whole life is supposed to be uncomfortable mindset. At the beginning of the day, when I'm journaling and I'm preparing myself, like, hey, Alyssa, ahead in this day, you're going to face unpleasant things, but that's to be expected in life. Or say when I'm doing something that I don't feel like doing, things that require discipline, I'm going to be like, hey, this is to be expected. Or when I'm in the moment of experiencing something like sadness or certain feelings, hey, Alyssa, this is a part of life. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. Since we're not facing the typical discomforts our ancestors did, which makes us very fortunate, we can maybe introduce discomfort in modern ways. For example, with living with depression, it makes it really hard to get out of bed. So hard. It's hard to start my day. The first thing I do when I get out of bed, I know I'm going to brush my teeth, wash my face, put in my contacts. So could I possibly use the this is supposed to be uncomfortable mindset to help me through that? Stop with the resistance to anything that is supposed to be uncomfortable. Because it almost feels wrong. Yes, I know depression is a serious thing where literally it's like you're paralyzed in your bed and like maybe you would rather not exist. So you don't want to do anything at all. But there are the better days I have. When I have maybe a sprinkle more motivation, I'm like, I'm ready to start my day. But to give myself the push is really hard. When you're ready to receive that push, I mean, when I'm ready to receive that push, that's something I can tell myself, hey, I know it's uncomfortable to force yourself to do this, but uncomfortability is just a part of life. It's unavoidable. So just go up and do this. We could use this mindset to get ourselves through the barrier to getting onto the yoga mat and following through our practice. It's hard to sit still and move slowly and be still with our restless minds. But hey, being uncomfortable, that's expected with life. Getting ourselves to meditate, sitting with our restless minds. Maybe getting yourself to eat without any stimulation. Maybe it's getting yourself to delve into self-improvement, like going to therapy, doing self-reflection, like perhaps researching the shadow self and looking inward. That's all so uncomfortable to face those parts of yourself. But hey, if this is my version of sleeping outside in the cold and being bit by bugs, okay. Maybe it's taking the time to read books. Like I've been wanting to get into the spiritual book and it's not necessarily uncomfortable, but it's not exactly pleasurable either. And I need to stop expecting life to always feel good. Maybe I can preface each of my days with this so that I have a new baseline of what's to be expected. And it will help me enjoy life more because I'm becoming less resistant to things that are unavoidable in life. I think other modern day discomforts involved doing laundry and cleaning your room, cleaning your space, going out and socializing with people and having social anxiety. Maybe we can even apply this to body image issues. Sometimes I get so fed up and overconsumed with the relationship I have with my body and the way I feel oppressed by views in society. But maybe that's just a modern discomfort I have to swallow because, you know what, discomfort is a part of life. and at least I'm not out in the wild facing the discomforts our ancestors did. After I thought about this, I felt more inclined to actively do uncomfortable things for myself. Like taking cold showers, ending my shower with just 60 seconds of cold water. It sucks, I know. But I'm like, hey, I want to get my brain adjusted to this, my body adjusted to this. Also, laying on an acupressure mat. If you don't know what that is, it's a mat that's supposed to relax your muscles. You lay on it for at least 10 minutes and you can start to feel the relaxation of your muscles, similar to acupuncture, but it's not actually piercing your skin. It's a mat with plastic points on it, and it sucks sometimes. But I'm like, hey, Alyssa, you are training to get used to this discomfort in life so that you can better brace the storms and the obstacles that get in your way on an everyday basis. So the issues I have with this mentality about discomfort is that there's a difference between discomfort and pain. How life is supposed to be uncomfortable. But I don't believe that life is supposed to be painful. And that is something that's really difficult to live through. People with chronic pain, chronic illness, chronic mental illness. Yes, maybe pain isn't everlasting, but sometimes it does feel like you've been enduring pain for days and years. Physical pains, mental pains. So don't discredit yourself to how much you're weathering that too. I think that this type of advice, it just takes the right time to apply it. It's so hard with all the advice given out there in the mental health world because it's not always the right time and place for you to apply what someone else is saying. Sometimes it is a good day to use it and sometimes it's not. So only you know yourself. Wisdom is the balance of logic and emotion. The theme of today's episode was highly based on logic. But you know, the reason we search for things that bring us pleasure is because we need relief from the difficulties in our lives. Any difficulty in your life can seem trivial relative to another extreme, like I was saying with our ancestors enduring what they did. But that doesn't change what your situation is to you. I just say, search for the corners and crevices in your life that can benefit from this advice and allow, you know, the bruises to just be left alone if they need. I hope you can take what I said today and just digest it and ask yourself, am I being resistant to too many things in my life? Is there space in my life for this mindset? Have I become too comfortable being comfortable all the time? And is that maybe adding to a bit of my misery? I'm just sitting with this idea right now. I think this was a good reminder for me as well. Life is hard. Unfortunately, we do need delayed gratification and discipline to actually make life less harder for ourselves. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Whoever created life, they knew that there had to be good and bad. They knew that there had to be torture and bliss. Fuck it. I wouldn't create anything. I'm like, y'all, I'll spare you the torture. But whatever, we're here. Okay? So we're doing the best that we can with it. Okay. Thank you for listening. Seriously, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. If you want to talk more, please DM me. Or if you're on Spotify, leave a comment. I'd love to know what you're all thinking. I genuinely care about you, and I hope that some goodness, some more goodness can come in your life. And if you are experiencing an extreme low, change is inevitable, and nothing can last forever. Okay. Hopefully, I will hear from you soon, and Maybe, hopefully, you'll want to hear from me soon. No? Ugh. Yes, you will. Ugh, I hate goodbyes.